announce them. I mean, there's no rush to announce them, and we want to do it at an appropriate time. And you'll see something. Actually, we have done the release up already, so it'll come out either later today or later tomorrow. We'll recap all the players that we signed this year. Won't really get into which guys are coming next year or not. So we've got a good idea, but we just want to make sure. And things change in the summer. I think that's one of the things we don't want to talk about the roster a whole lot, because a lot goes on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we expect all our players back at this point. Like, you know, Jamie Phillips has been drafted. Berksy's been drafted. Cliff Watson's been drafted. There's a few free agents who've been getting quite a bit of interest on our team from NHL teams. So at this point, we expect everybody back. But you'll see something on the recruits this week that'll come up on our website.
The next question, were you surprised with the initial success of Tanner Carroll in
no.
the AHL?
No, not at all. I mean, it's you know, it's a good league. One of the things, you'll have some adjustment, but I think at that time of the year, Tanner was coming you know, off playing real well, so he's in good shape. Went down there, and they put him in a good situation. I talked to Mark Osiecki, obviously, who you know, was assistant coach down in Rockford, and Mark's a great guy, great coach. And you know, we talked a little bit about Tanner's strengths and weaknesses, what position he feels more comfortable with, what he can play. And I think they put him in a real good role there. And they've got a good team, too. So not surprised that he got off to the start he did, and good for him. Now he's got to pick it up in the playoffs here a little bit. So no pressure, Tanner.
Next question. First of all, they're saying thanks for doing the show, Coach. And
You're welcome.
Can you comment on how recruiting is looking long-term? And second, do you see the gentleman's agreement lasting?
Yeah, recruiting long-term is terrific. We're, you know, we're on a couple kids right now that high-profile kids. You know, we're recruiting against some Big Ten teams right now with a couple of these players. So we feel good where we're at. We feel good about our list. We have a list that we have kids that are coming at least 2 years out right now. So strong list, some real good players there. So no, we're anxious and excited about our recruiting. On the other front, the gentleman's agreement, that's one of the big topics that came up in Florida at the coaches' convention. We have a verbal agreement, so once a young man verbally commits, a prospect commits to a school, we used to have a deal where you couldn't talk to them. That was it. But things have changed, so now we have some coaches that don't believe in the verbal agreement. They just say the letter of intent, we're going to recruit up until the letter of intent like the other sports do. So it's unfortunate. Most guys want to, we took a straw vote. I think the majority want to stay with the you know, verbal agreement, and they'll abide by it. But you have, you know, 10 to 15 schools that have no interest in abiding by that. So they can come in and grab a player as long as he's not signed a national letter of intent, and get him to change his mind, so to speak.
Well, that's a big change in the whole philosophy of the recruiting, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, you could, for example, we lost a player this year. We had a young man that committed to us last summer, was in a senior year, and a week before the signing date, you know, another school had been working him, backdooring him for about a month, and finally got him to change his mind. And, you know, you have to trust the player and the parents. And when you shake their hand and look them in the eye and you say, you know, we have an agreement, but it can go both ways too. You know, we have to let, you know, a lot of schools aren't holding up to their end of the bargain either. You know, they'll recruit a bunch of players, like over recruit, and then just to pick the ones who are seem to be the best and tell the other guys, well, you know, we don't think it's going to work out here, or things have changed or whatever. So I think that's part of the issue with the verbal agreement. Some guys feel schools are stockpiling players. So there's a lot of issues with it, but I mean, all we can do is do our job and worry about our recruits and make sure we continue to recruit them and we get them here to the Copper Country.
Coach, from what I understand, overwhelmingly the coaches did not want to change the regional tournament situation.
Well, that was the other big thing at the coaches' conventions is there was a movement out there to change how the NCAA tournament is structured. Instead of going to four regional sites in supposedly neutral settings, the talk was that they're going to have eight first-round sites on campus. So the top eight seeds would host a one-game regional game versus the bottom eight seeds. So you'd go back to the campuses, and then the next round you'd have the top four seeds hosting one game, and then you get your four champions. But overwhelmingly, I think the majority is like 90% wanted to keep the regionals as is. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. It'll go to the NCAA committee in Indianapolis in June, and they'll have the final decision how to structure the regionals going forward.
So, and your thoughts on that as far as
the Well, league? It's a pretty strong statement from the coaches, but, you know, I would think it would stay the same, but you never know, you know.
But as far as your preference?
Well, my preference, I can see, like, we would have hosted this year. We would have hosted the NCAA Regionals, and how fun would that have been? Mm-hmm. So, at the same time, you know, neutrality is important, you know, and I think you have to continue to look at. There's a lot of things that go into it, you know, like home and away, like how you schedule your games and who's going to get the top eight, you know. So I think right now I agree with how we're going to do it. I think there's something about going to the regionals on a neutral site or somewhere else where you bring four teams in. I think it's exciting for the players. They're just worried about the attendance. That's the only issue with it, is the attendance factor. So, and the attendance was great at our regionals. So I think that's one of the key things, is find a way to get people to get to those games.
With a lot of the USHL teams holding their main camps the same week, how does Mel and the coaching staff plan to attend, or do you plan to attend?
Well, we do, and there's one coming up, not this weekend, the next weekend will be the first one, Muskegon. So we sat down last week and put all the teams' camps, trial camps on our schedule, as well as a few other recruiting things we want to get to, and just sort of said who's going to go where, you know, because we feel it's important. We want to go see some of our recruits and at the same time look at some other young men that we've identified as being potential Huskies. So we'll get out all to those USHL camps, and we'll go to a few Canadian camps too. My golf game's going to suffer, yeah, but so be it.
That's all right. Next question, will Jake Jackson play center or wing?
Jake's a very versatile player. We'll see. When he comes in, when we saw him in high school, he played primarily center, but junior he's played the wing and had, you know, real good year this year in the BC Junior League with Nanaimo, and them and Penticton got to the finals of the BC Junior League, and Jake had a good playoff. So we'll see. The beauty of it is we have some guys who can play center, but we need, you know, you're losing Tanner and Blake and Blake Pietola. So that's two big holes at center we're going to have to fill.
All right. Well, thanks for your questions. We appreciate it. Coach, you know, what happens now? I know you get these camps you have to go to. What are the guys going to be up to with Tyler Shalest and everything else?
Well, yeah, we got a couple big things going on. Like tomorrow we have a business expo with TV6 and whatnot at the SDC at 5 to 7 o'clock. So a lot of the local businesses, come on over. I'll be there, and you know, they'll be here from TV6 and just talk a little bit about you know, the business and going forward and how TV6 can help businesses, and talk a little bit about tech hockey. So that'll be good. That's at the SDC tomorrow night. So I'll do that. I'll go there. And then obviously we have the celebration. The celebration this year is Saturday. And the other thing is kids, anybody under 18, it's only going to cost you $5. It's not the 15. So if you want to bring some of those young future Huskies, bring them over to the Continental on Saturday. It's 11:30. Till whenever. I don't think it will go past 1:30.
Right.
We're going to do a real nice short program, but you can see you know, the team and the videos and
get some
autographs. And
that.
The videos are awesome. Yeah. So we have that going on. And then obviously our players are working out 5 days a week right now with Tyler Shalest. So they started this morning at 7:45, and I was in there, and they were going good. They were really going good. It took them a little while to get going this morning, and but they'll be here for 6 weeks, working all off ice, getting stronger, getting quicker, getting tougher, mentally tougher, and getting ready to, you know, have a good summer and be ready to go in the fall, because we really like our team going forward. You know, we're on a little bit of a roll. We have some momentum, and we have to make sure that we, you know, keep pushing and that we're better next year, Dirk. We're better next year than we are this year. So we'll bring every individual in and have a team meeting with them and talk to them a little bit about the areas that they need to improve in, whether it's on or off ice, to make sure they give themselves a chance to be the best they can be next year.
Season tickets are on sale. Early bird price, $199 at the ticket office. Go to buyhuskiestickets.com or call 487-2073. 11:30 Saturday morning is when that brunch starts, and it'll be a great presentation. I can't wait for the highlight video put together by the staff. And again, it's $15 for adults, only $5 for kids. Go to blueline@mtu.edu. Email that blueline@mtu.edu. Get your reservation in by Wednesday.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time. It's very informal. Like I said, it's always fun listening to our players talk, so it'll be great.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dirk.
That's the Mel Pearson Show here on Mix 93 WKMJ.